Hey, this is Betty for BPR 6. Welcome to our third episode. I've got with me
Mike
and Duncan,
Andy,
Jack,
and we have our newest member of Team Scabbard, introducing Seth.
Shut up, Mike.
Seth, tell us about yourself. What do you do? Why are you here? You know, all the fun stuff.
Well, I still haven't figured out why I'm here. What I do, though, is play 40K with these other five goofy fellas. Just a little bit about me. I don't know, I've been playing for something like 13 or 14 years now. Played just about every army but IG and Orcs. So played Space Marines like 7 times.
See, I'm not the only one.
I was about to say, you sound a lot like Mike.
No. In fact, I remember when Seth last played Space Marines, because I know when he got rid of them, I bought some from him.
So, I'm getting back into it. Been playing a couple other tabletop games, and just happy to be with these fellows and start playing in some tournaments.
I say you played War Machine today, didn't you?
Oh, yeah.
And you won,
about
right?
8 hours worth of War Machine and won, so it's a good place to stop playing with it for a while.
And did not cry, that is
Yeah,
important.
And did not cry, that's very important.
Did make someone else cry. Well, yes, we did have somebody cry and throw a fit and leave, but I had nothing to do with it. It was, you know, it wasn't me.
It's always fun when you make other people cry.
Well
Duncan, I think you enjoy it more than other people.
It's not my fault they don't enjoy it. I do my best to ensure they enjoy them crying and leaving.
That's just becoming a prerequisite for joining Team Scabbard. You have to make somebody cry.
Hopefully Mike.
Hopefully me. I mean, Well, now we're done glorifying Seth over here. We're going to basically do what we did last week and go around the room and talk about what we've been doing the last 2 weeks. And we're going to start over here with Mr. Blackjack, because he has actually, for once, been productive. Instead of just having one Karkadon, he apparently has two.
Karkadon. It's Karkadon.
I'm sorry.
Street sharks.
Sharks. Get it right.
Sorry, space sharks.
I like street sharks.
What I have done is 3 Grey Hunter squads, a Long Fang squad.
Those are space
marines. Sergeant?
Wolf guard.
I got 3 wolf guard done with the magnetized backpack, so their little banners won't get broken.
Jack, how many magnets do you have in that one space wolf?
Talking about the rune priest.
Yes.
I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and I'm going to put 2 more.
God.
Okay, what have you magnetized on this guy?
Okay, his backpack, so the banner won't get broken. His left arm, which holds his gun. And then his big halberd-looking thing. 2 at the shoulder, 2 at the elbow.
God. Wow.
He's almost fully posable.
He's not magnetized to waist yet.
So he's no longer a Warhammer figure. He's officially a G.I. Joe.
Almost. It's cool.
I am fine with this.
Hand in the middle now.
Nope. Just a little update for those of you who hadn't listened last week. Jack is obsessed with magnets. If he gets a figure, the first thing he does is try to figure out how he can magnetize it and put more magnets into it.
To the point where it's more magnet than plastic.
Yeah.
So what are you doing with your Karkadons, Jack? Are you what kind of kit bashing are you doing?
Right now they're a combination of, I think, second edition models, Khorne Berserkers, Space Marines, and Dark Angels.
Wow.
What do you mean they're just a combination? I mean, are there specific pieces you're using to make these guys? Sharpen?
Just using a general assortment?
If you follow the fluff with the Karkadons, they've been out on the rift and kind of take what they need and give nothing back. So I'm taking what I need and giving nothing back. For the fluff that I'm using for them, nobody likes you, Mike. For the fluff that I'm using, I'm saying that they're a fifth company and they're the Angels of Death. Or Angels of Murder or something like that, so I can get away with some of the Dark Angels
iconography.
That word right there.
That big one.
Right. Also, when I was doing this, I cleaned off my desk. I had a desk. I had a horrible...
You cleaned off your desk. Well,
yeah, I cleaned off
finally,
my desk.
We now know what Jack has been doing with his life. Someone prepare the eulogy.
I had horrible apathy when it came to putting myself together to clean off my desk.
It's a big one for you.
This has been great. I've also been thinking about Betty stuff, which I know is kind of weird. Because
I feel
dirty.
Yes.
What you need to do, okay, you send some news. What you need to do, because I found it on one website, but I can't find it right now, is you need to look up steampunk.
I know. Because, I know what steampunk really is.
Good idea. No, because you can. They have the gears for costume jewelry, and that way you can do 3D gears and stuff like that.
That's a good idea. Actually,
you have my attention.
That's a really good idea. Betty, for those of you again that don't know, we're actually doing the we're doing the Medabble War for Adepticon this year, and Jackson and Carcadon, Betty's doing Sum Dedusa. I'm doing the Exorcist, and Andy's doing the
Firehawks.
Firehawks. I can't remember.
I'm the only one who posted pictures on the Facebook thing for us, so yeah.
But I have pictures of my Carcadons on the blog.
But that's not Facebook, Jack.
Jack, actually, you're a ridiculously magnetized guy. You should post him up so everybody can see Jack's love.
I need a helmet because I haven't found a good head for him yet.
Mm. Sounds like a problem we all have.
You're looking for helmets.
Yeah.
I've got a couple pre-heresy heads.
I'm just looking for a helmet that's really cool.
Like I said, I've got a couple pre-heresy heads.
I was going to ask you for ideas.
Okay. Well, so, I've got a couple of Max Mini ones spare. So that wouldn't be too hard to do. So
because the way he's looking right now, he has the bionic legs. And then he has a regular torso, and then the huge halberd.
You know, I think I may have some of those work for that.
Have you been doing anything else other than that? Or
see here, I wrote something for the one thing, and then I worked a lot.
Oh, cool. What about you, Seth? What have you been doing?
Well, I started reading through some of the codexes that I have and realized that most of them are out of date since last time I played. So I think I have 3 codexes that are still legal. So that's just a small thing I've been doing. The other thing I've been doing is I actually picked up the Mega Force for Dark Eldar.
Oh, did you?
And about 10 other boxes of stuff, so I've spent all week putting that together.
I didn't know that. So you're going to be playing Dark Eldar officially?
Well, you know, I can play Dark Eldar, I can play Eldar, I can play Demons. I'm leaving it open to
what
I decide.
So what you're saying is your army flexible.
Yes, very flexible.
I'm always happy to have another Demon player.
So, you know, it's been a long week with lots of fingers glued together and lots of stabs with the hobby knife. And you know.
You stabbed yourself with a hobby knife?
I cut myself all the time using it.
Really? What kind of person stabs themselves with a hobby knife? Right,
okay, Jack? I'm just going to go ahead and get
Jack's
out
there. Jack's my best friend, huh?
Get it out there. I may have cut a couple of my fingers with my hobby knife this week, and what you're laughing about is I may have cut my nipple with a hobby knife. And my little girl came in the room, she yelled, "Daddy!" And I looked over, and the knife fell, and then I got stabbed in the nipple, and it started bleeding, and that's just a long story short. I feel much better now.
So picture this if you can. Either way, we go to see the midnight release of
Sherlock Holmes,
which is a very good movie, by the way. I highly recommend it.
Better than the first one.
Yeah, much better than the first one. And Jack shows up, and he waves at us, and he's got bandages on every single one of his fingers. And he's got like a blood spot on his shirt.
It was not a blood. I had a bandage.
On your shirt?
No, underneath my shirt. On my nipple. Hey there,
buddy. Oh. We hope we
know. Yeah, okay. Benny, what have you done? I'm moving this on.
Wait a minute now. So you're going to be playing some Dark Elder. That'll be good.
Well, somebody's got to play him.
Yeah, that's true. Right.
You know, actually, I wouldn't mind having
a good Dark Elder player.
I wouldn't mind having a good Dark Elder player. Because locally, I mean, we've got a couple people that play Dark Elder.
But none of them play
on competitive level.
Mm-hmm.
None of them play anywhere close to a lot of games or anything anywhere at all like what we do. I mean, so having someone with variety that's not power armor and not massive amounts of Imperial Guard tanks is really a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Welcome change. Yeah, I like change sometimes. I don't believe in it, but I like change.
So what about you, Betty? What have you been doing?
Well, I have not really accomplished much modeling-wise. I maybe did another one of Bloodletters. Still like Killer Scheme. Oh, I did do one thing modeling-wise. Since it's been so while since I've really worked with my demons so well, as anyone who plays demons know, Bloodletters are very fragile, especially in the arms and the swords.
Snapping swords on.
Yes, they snap like no one. I can't think of the phrase I'm trying to use at the moment.
They snap like no one.
They snap like no one's business, man.
Thank you.
I just went blank.
Have either one of you used the new bloodletter plastic?
Blood pressure
plastic kits.
No,
yeah, all my blood pressures are plastic.
I keep coming across pewter ones I never knew I even had.
Oh, so you're like me with the Lehman Russell.
Yes, I even sent you a message telling you that.
Oh, so yours are
pretty. I doubled my number of blood crushers. And I did not know I had them.
I'm thinking about using those for my Thunderwolf Calvary.
Get the plastic.
No
dear God, get the plastic.
Really?
Well, no, you can get the metal ones. Or maybe the ones that are made out of leather.
You want my metal ones?
I have one metal one, and I thought about chugging it at somebody just for fun. It weighs roughly about 35 pounds.
But anyway, so I basically went through all my blood letters and was pretty much combining not unbroken pieces. Like, this blood letter has a broken arm, but this one has a completely fine arm. It's just something else is wrong, like a horn's broke on the head. So I'd sit there and switch parts to make sure I had as many complete blood letters as possible. Ended up with, out of my entire collection, I think 2 or 3 blood letters I just couldn't use anymore. But,
I got a box of blood letters if you want to buy them.
Sure, why not?
you finally got some parts for your Sons of Medusa too, didn't you?
Yeah. Now I've only had the Marines to go on.
Yeah.
Oh, but that's pretty much all I've been doing modeling-wise. I went to a tournament with Duncan a couple week and a half?
It was last weekend. There's a couple local gaming stores in the Lexington area, and 2 of the stores host monthly tournaments.
Mm-hmm.
We are part of both monthly leagues.
Mm-hmm.
One hosts there's the store that we have based part of our name off of, the Rusty Scabbard. It hosts monthly 40K tournaments the third Saturday of every month. And there's another store that we're not going to name yet because we need to get permission from the owners to do so. And they host tournaments on different weekends of every month, but it's always 40K. It's always one of the Saturdays.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always a different crowd than what we get at the Scabbard. And it's always a very different crowd than what most people see in the tournament scene.
Quite.
Most tournament scenes are obviously going to be more hardcore players.
Mm-hmm.
The more people who sit there and nitpick and needle their lists to death trying to get the maximum value out of every single point.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas over there, they're a lot more casual and a lot more, I'd say, relaxed about some of the rules and play styles of the game.
But there were actually a few things that bothered us about it. It didn't bother Duncan so much. It just pretty much bothered me because there was one consistent thing through all of the missions.
Yes.
The entire board was difficult terrain.
Yes, they for every single mission, each mission is obviously not just a generic mission out of the book. Something has to be thrown into a tournament mission to make it different, to make it interesting. And this month's and last month's
It
was last month's as well, yes.
Last time I went, too.
Oh, so it's been 3 months in a row now that the addition has
it
been...
It was September when I went last
vacuum.
Time.
Vacuum. They used the vacuum rules,
it
which...
It was vacuum and low grav last time I went.
No, there was no low grav this time, just vacuum.
It was the world turns against you or something.
Yes, it was vacuum and death world, I guess what you could call it, where all the terrain, open areas, no matter what, was difficult terrain.
Mm-hmm.
All areas that had terrain in it, no matter what the terrain was dangerous.
Except for the third mission. They got rid of that.
Except for the third mission, where they just had the vacuum rule.
And
for anyone who doesn't know what the vacuum rule is...
Everything's rending.
Everything is rending. It doesn't matter what it is. Your Meltagun is rending. Your Last Gun is rending.
Your Orc Luda Death Guns are rending and can now blow up Land Raiders.
Your Multilaser can also pop a Land Raider.
Yep.
I did that the last time we had vacuum.
You can tell I'm a little bitter about this.
And because of the rending rules and the difficult terrain rules and everything, this was not a friendly set of tables for, say, mechanized, assault armies, or horde infantry.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much it crippled almost everyone who played, but it made everyone have to deal with, you know, a lot of different movement.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not certain. I think there were something like 10 or 12 people who played.
About 10.
About 10? Okay. So, it ended up with, I took first place, James took somewhere in the middle,
I tied for third.
Tim, another local player, took second, and you tied for third.
Mm-hmm.
And your tie for third went to how many thousandths of a percentage point?
1,000th of a percentage point.
Took you into fourth place?
Yes. I was not happy.
Yeah, there's certainly a different way of doing points for tournaments when you are calculating maximum possible points versus points earned. It's not the standard, but it works. Betty, why don't you go ahead and tell us about your first game of the tournament?
My first game, I was up against an Imperial Guard player. It was actually another guy.
Not me.
Not Duncan. It was actually another guy that's been playing around in our group recently. Relatively younger. Still in high school, isn't he?
Good player, though, for his age.
Connor, he's a good player. Really good guy. He's a good player.
Oh, Connor?
Yeah.
Connor I played. Love me some Connor.
But we played on an Arctic map. Lots of those Gale Force 9 crystals that they have. Some pipelines. I was taking my Black Templars. So, first turn of the game. I got first turn. I immobilized two of my Rhinos. Thankfully, my Land Raider was not immobilized. I eventually managed to get to his lines. Took till like turn three or four because I kept immobilizing my vehicles. The only thing that saved me from getting completely wiped was the fact that there was a crap ton of cover on the board. I was getting cover saved from pretty much everything he shot at me. If it was not for that, I would have been wiped.
Well, that is one of the strengths of a guard army is they can shoot almost anything off the table.
But the fact that I immobilized half of my transports turn one, and I'm an assaulty army and had to walk that distance, did not help me in the least.
I could definitely see that being a problem.
Walk through.
The problem with
tournaments... Walk through difficult terrain, no less.
The problem with tournaments and making scenarios like that is you just completely mess up.
It's hard to be unbiased.
It's hard to be unbiased with stuff like that. Now, I can understand if there was a scenario like that, and then there was a scenario that hurt shooting players.
Yes,
that would make
more
sense.
For every single one of the scenarios.
And it doesn't work. Yeah. It's not
and
a good way to
like,
run a tournament.
The whole mobilizing my Rhino thing, since the whole board was difficult terrain, it became dangerous for every single vehicle except for walkers.
Yep. That really did hurt it. Mm-hmm. And in my first game, I fought against a Necron player. Mm-hmm. He did not use the Scarab's Conga Swarm quite as effectively as he could.
I thought he had Tomb Spiders, but he didn't
do
that.
Yeah, he had Tomb Spiders, but he did not quite...
Or, I mean, Canoptic Spiders. Don't know why they changed the name.
Canoptic.
Well, you know, he had the Arnold Schwarzenegger Spiders, but he didn't quite use them as most of the netlists tell you you're supposed to use them. But he was, unfortunately for him, a footlist, and he was slowly slogging across the field, which had a large piece of blocking terrain split right down the middle of the table to where I could only shoot him from a very small, narrow corridor.
Mm-hmm.
And once my tanks were on the table, they weren't moving because there was no way in heck that I wanted to sit there and... Because,
I mean, squadron of Lehman Russes. Oh, yeah. Roll the one. There goes half my squadron.
Exactly. There was no way I really wanted to fight that. And, of course, you know, he had the Swarm, or the Stormlord, or mm-hmm. whoever it is that makes
Stormlord.
It...
Stormlord.
The Stormlord, who makes it night fighting
tech.
All the time. Yes. He had the guy from The Mummy, and he was sitting there, constantly moving slowly across the table into the gun line. And, you know, the one really good thing I've got to say about the IG vehicles, other than the massive amount of firepower they can put out, is there are searchlights everywhere. I lit up this squad, then I lit up this squad, and then this squad lit up, and then the flayed ones deep struck in and got eradicated by Lehman Russ spike lights. And then this squad struck in. It did not end well for him.
I mean, the fact that he was foot-slogging towards your lines did not help him, especially since the whole difficult terrain thing.
Yeah, and considering he was actually slogging through terrain most of the way to get there, it was every single turn... One or two guys out of this 10-man squad just falls over. One of them gets back up, but the other one's left behind in the trees.
A guard line is not something you want to be approaching that slowly.
No.
You do not want your...
Did he not have any range support whatsoever?
Oh, no, he had some range support, range 24 support, sitting in the very back expecting me to come to him.
Yep.
And as we all know, I'm not going to move forward with that gun line. Why would I do that? Crazy I might be. Stupid, however, I am not.
That's yet to be seen.
Well, okay, that's fair. So I won that one, got a massacre of maximum points.
Mm-hmm.
Betty, what was your score?
I tied. One more bonus point than Connor had.
Okay. One more bonus point than Connor had. That's not too horrible.
No.
What about your second game, Betty?
Second game, I was up against Shooty Orcs.
Shooty Orcs?
Shooty Orcs.
Wait, was this a Matt guy?
What?
Was the guy named Matt?
Yes. This was Matt.
Was it that? Yeah. Oh, okay.
What's Matt again?
Matt is a younger guy who has a...
Is he the blue and white one?
No.
Battle wagon? No.
I don't think you've ever met him.
He has a very bright red battle wagon. Okay. Can't really miss it. But I was up against Shooty Orcs, which, with two full squads of Ludas, which still had the rending special rule. Which, I know Orcs only hit on 5s or 6s, but when they pour an entire 1850 worth of shooting into you that rends, they're going to get some rends on you.
Betty, you sound a little bitter.
I am quite bitter.
Why are you bitter, Betty?
Because I had my Land Raider blown up turn 1 by death guns.
So, Betty, just so I understand where your bitterness is coming from, because I definitely want to understand this and not in any way belittle you, frequently direct it to your face as much as I can. What you're saying is you lost Land Raiders to Ludas, or one Land Raider to Ludas.
Yes. A Land Raider that was lost to Ludas to a guy who could not have destroyed him any other way. He had nothing that could have destroyed my Land Raiders.
So otherwise. What you're saying here, Betty, is...
But you had poor planning.
Is that you lost to Ludas.
Yes.
You brought this a Land Raider in tournament that had rending everywhere.
I didn't know. I've never been to any of these vacuum turnips before.
This isn't as bad as me losing the entire 7-man assault squad plus a marshal to Grotz.
I did lose a marshal to Grotz, though. I lost a marshal to Grotz.
I lost the entire squad in one round of combat. It was horrible.
I did get a little bit of revenge for the Terminators later.
Did you?
He had a shooty squad and a knob squad with the war boss that had gotten out.
Mm-hmm.
And I was actually in charge range with two of my squads. One of them was just a base squad. It's 7 guys, close combat weapons, melt-a-gun, power fist, neophyte. Another one, 9 guys, same loadout, just one less close combat guy, plus the marshal with the Thunderhammer and Storm Shield. I dual charged so that I had the combat was one giant combat, so that all the casualties would carry over. I essentially had 2 power fist guys and the marshal sending a bunch of strength 8 wounds into the knob squad, while everyone else went to the shooter boys.
That's a good solution for no more knobs.
Yes, they ran. I didn't call the knobs, but they ran. There was no way they could make up for that many wounds, because there was no way he could kill all my guys, especially Sir Marshall. Even if he took a wound from a power claw, he was immune to instant death.
Yeah. That is always a big bonus with those.
So it was pretty much knobs gone, war boss gone, battle wagon was gone the next turn, shooty boy squad gone. And that pretty much cleared that entire side of the board.
So what about your turn two, Duncan?
My second game, who was it that I fought?
The Tur-Duncan?
The Tur-Duncan. What was it I fought, Betty? I can't really remember.
You were...
I know, it's terrible, but I honestly can't remember.
I can't remember either.
You won.
No,
I fought Eldar.
That's it.
Because he had that ability, and you could not penetrate his wave serpent to save your life.
Yes.
Sounds like a personal problem.
Now, in second mission, there was also the rule that melt-a-bombs were everywhere.
What?
Yeah,
every unit that had a weapon skill had melt-a-bombs.
Why do you think it was difficult ground? Melt-a-bombs everywhere.
Exactly.
Hard to walk on.
They were having problems carrying their melt-a-bombs, apparently. And as Andy just said, they were everywhere. I had veterans with melt-a-bombs. I had last gun armed guardsmen with melt-a-bombs. He had exarchs with melt-a-bombs.
So what you're saying is the Eldar Guardian are finally pointed right.
Yes. And speaking actually of guardians, who is it in the Eldar Codex that has that shooting storm of whatever?
That's the exarchs of the Dire Avengers that have Blade Storm.
And he had a squad of them. In a wave serpent thingy majigger that moves fast and
rending and shuriken sits catapults. There. Yeah.
And you know what? That squad jumped out and they massacred everything out of 3 autocannons who had so far not done anything all game long. And I was very proud of them when they immediately the next turn in that clump right behind the vehicle ate their vehicle blowing up because of a melt gun hitting it. And then 8, their squadron being eradicated when a pie plate landed on top of him. It was a terrible tragedy. That they killed 75 points of autocannon guardsmen. And I was so very, very hurt and upset by that.
I mean, you lose guardsmen, it just hits you right there, man.
Yeah, and in case, since everyone can't see where Betty is pointing, he's pointing somewhere right around the elbow or the wrist, because, you know, that's, you know, the reason it hurts because you have to pick them up so much.
Yeah.
But I fought him. He had a squad of Banshees with an Exarch. He had a Seer Council. He had the Missile Launcher Dark Reapers. He had a Wraith Lord. And a number of the Worm vehicles. I can't even remember how many vehicles he had. But the important vehicle he had, and this is the only vehicle that really mattered, was
A Falcon.
And
was it blue?
I don't think it was blue, no. But I do know that we went seven turns, and in seven turns, after turn two, I had a command squad charging it and backing away and charging it again and backing away and charging it again just to sit there and be able to not get shot and be able to shoot my rending last pistols into the rear of the vehicle in an attempt to penetrate it. I actually got one rending hit that, you know, stunned it. This, of course, was after I'd already shaken it, stunned it, immobilized it, and blown off every weapon except for the Shuriken catapult out the front. And after that happened, on turn three, the rest of the four turns of the game, I could not penetrate with Melta Bombs, or I could not get anything other than a one with a Melta Bomb. Every single time I tried, I have to roll two dice, and one of the dice comes up a one or a two, and he picks that one.
Because he had hollow fields.
Because he had hollow fields. So I never got to actually kill the vehicle. And that, other than a squad of three Dire Avengers running away, was the only thing he had left on the table.
Which technically those Dire Avengers don't even count.
Yes, they were broken and running away from the squad of very angry 55-point guardsmen who were chasing behind them. All three of them who were left. It was horrible.
So this was a three-game tournament, right?
This was a three-game tournament. 1850, three games.
Gotcha. Who'd you play last round, buddy?
I played against the only other really assault army there. Played against a guy with multiple small units. This is like the only multiple small units guys I've ever really played against. Grey Hunters and Razorbacks with a Wolf Priest and Ragnar.
Did you win or lose?
I tabled him.
Oh, good.
This
you have to win sometimes, even if by accident.
I didn't lose any of my games, Mike.
Oh,
but
anyway, how many games you won over there last
every
week?
Single one.
Last week.
Oh, last week I had to win.
None. You didn't win none. So be quiet. Yeah.
Did you work or were you sick with pancreatic vagina minus again?
It was the chronic
pancreatic vagina minus.
That's my goal, was to give it to everybody.
Well, you know, that is you. You do like you like making everybody else.
Insert your mom joke.
What about you, Doug? What was your last round like, man?
My third round, I ended up going up against, strangely enough, Connor.
IG.
Really?
IG.
How?
IG. He was playing for the top two table, or top two places, were myself and Tim, who I played in round one.
Oh, okay.
Because the way the point scoring was working, while I got a victory on turn one, or a win in game one, and yeah, that's the guy I played. That's the guy that Betty played.
Oh, okay. Player.
Yeah. While I got a victory in game one, he picked up a minor win based on the battle points. And that put him in second place by a significant number of points. I think it was 7 or 8 he was behind me. And then behind him was Connor, and then Betty and Vince. And Vince is the guy that Betty fought. Mm. And the Eldar player was somewhere in the mix. I'm truthfully not certain where. But I ended up fighting Connor. And Connor has, you know, he's a lot better than a lot of players are.
For his age.
He's a very hard player. He likes the autocannon teams. He likes last cannon teams. Mm-hmm. He likes his Vendettas. He likes squadrons of Russes. And he likes Melta and Plasma Vets. And look, that's pretty much the exact army he brought.
Plus a Hellhound.
Plus a Hellhound. I'm not quite certain why he brought the Hellhound, but he brought the Hellhound.
Probably just put some more points in there somewhere.
And this mission, the third mission was, it's snowing everywhere.
So the only special rule was everything's difficult terrain.
Yeah, not everything was dangerous, just everything was difficult. You know, I'm fine with this. Mm-hmm. You know, that's not that bad, except, you know, when I mobilize a Russ out of every single squadron on turn two, I'm perfectly fine with that. I'm perfectly fine with that, because they roll on and I'll die. but we rolled off for turn, and he got turn one. And he deploys in the classic gun line, and I'm sitting there going, you know, I really don't want to give him the alpha strike on me. I really didn't relish the idea of demolisher cannon shells, battle cannon shells, last cannons everywhere. And so I just threw everything into reserve. And the minute he heard me say that, it was like, what? How? What? No! That's not no! How do you know? He was just very, very shocked and surprised by that. And I'm not certain why, because he's done the same thing to me before. Mm. And so, obviously, I did nothing while he sat there on turn one. And I did nothing during my turn. And then during the beginning of turn two, reserve showed up. And the only thing he had in reserve was Marbo. And I obviously had nothing on the table. So Marbo showing up and tossing a demo charge is rather redundant. So instead, Marbo sat on top of a rocky outcropping and just sat there and looked around and waited and decided he was just going to hang out for a bit.
Wonder why he blew his cover then.
Yeah, yeah. So, and then my army starts rolling on. And the three squadrons of Lehman Russes all rolled up on turn two. And promptly, on my difficult terrain checks, on the first turn, every single squadron had one tank roll a one.
Oh, God.
So I lost half my Lehman Russes rolling onto the table.
That sucks.
So, yeah, instead of six Lehman Russes, we have three. And that wasn't very fun. But I didn't immobilize a single Chimera. I didn't immobilize either of my Vendettas. And so my Vendettas roll up, and they were outflanking, came out one on either side. And one Vendetta shot up his squadron of demolishers. The other Vendetta came in and shot up the rear of his Hellhound. Oh, strangely enough, it was right there, ready to kill it. Right where it was waiting to flame anything I had. And Mike is pretending that he's a zombie, which is incredibly awesome. Oh, dear. Apparently we need to get out the zombie plan.
I have other words.
Oh, you have other words?
You have other words?
Yeah. This is PG-13, so I can't say it.
Oh, well, okay. We'll accept that with just a beep. How's that sound?
Okay. Beep.
Okay, there we go.
Watch yourself.
And I killed Marbo with multi-lasers. I seized the objectives with pretty much everything that was on my side of the table, and I just started raining the fire down. I killed off his last cannon squads, his command squad, except for the commander who was sitting there barking orders at nobody. And
told himself to get down.
He told himself to hide, and he hid really well behind a rock.
Get down! Don't die! Get down again! Stay down! Don't ever move again!
And actually, that guy didn't move again. He just kind of kept staying on the ground, never dying, which kind of bothered me. Cool. But I ended up winning that one, held four of the five objectives, and contested the last one. And that one I didn't get maximum points on, and I left tank hulls everywhere, just like he did. It was pretty much looking like Stalingrad by the end of that fight.
I was about to say, it's a guard game.
Yeah, it's a guard game. It looked like Stalingrad. It's burning hulks everywhere. And I won the total tournament by, I think, a point. Yeah, I think it was a point.
I thought it was like a thousandth of a point.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I won it by a thousandth of a point. The same percentage you lost by.
So you did better, I got screwed.
Well, you know, sometimes you're the screwed, and sometimes you're the screwy.
That just sounds screwy.
That does sound kind of screwy, doesn't it?
You know, I'm glad you guys won the tournament. You were talking about how it just... There was a lot of things that about the tournament that you didn't like, about tournament structure and stuff like that. Seth, you said there were some problems with your tournament today that you're... Or, sorry, event you were in today.
Yeah, it was an event. It wasn't a tournament. It was actually for a new release for some of the privateer product that came out.
I heard you made somebody cry. That's all I know.
No.
Yes, go ahead and admit it. You made somebody cry.
I might have been part of it in some way. I'm not the person that actually made him cry. The problem was...
You're a horrible person.
And we're talking about problems with tournaments. The rules were specifically stated for this tournament. I think there were some people that didn't actually go to the company's website and look to see what the published material was and see what the rules were. And the tournament organizer didn't have any of this published... anything that they were going to provide at the tournament so that everybody could see it. He was basically just winging it, and we kind of got to a point where there were so many points he needed to win, and there was one person who only needed to play one more game, which would have gotten him a point to score one of the prizes that they were giving out. And he wasn't aware that there was actually a time limit to this event, and time was called, and he got very bent out of shape about it, and... This is where the whole crying part comes in. He kind of threw a fit and...
nerd rage.
One of his friends kind of egged it on because they kind of stood around for an hour when this guy could have played an extra game and gotten the point, but the guy was like, you know, I just don't even want to play you right now.
Oh, God.
So, you know, crying ensued. And I just think the point is, you know, whether there's published material out there or not, there should be a tournament organizer who knows what's going on.
Yep.
He should, before play even starts, make sure everyone knows, you know, hey, this is what we're doing. You know, these are the prizes we're giving out. This is how long we're going to play. This is what you're allowed to do when we call time. You know, is it dice down? Do you finish the round?
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's lots of details because, you know, everybody needs to be on the same page and lots of people can get bent out of shape.
Yeah.
And we don't want people nerd raging in the store.
Yes. Oh, no, I quite enjoyed it.
It's very important that you stick with the rules, too, when you make. When you say you have a 2.5 hour time limit, you have that 2.5 hour
consistency
time limit.
Is something that should be universal.
Exactly. I was in a tournament that my last round, I was forced to play an extra 20 minutes after time was called. I said, just go ahead and play it. But time was just called. In most tournaments, you know, it's your dice is down, you're done. You had that time limit you had to finish, but...
When was that?
It was well, I don't want to mention any names.
Well, that's fine. I'm not asking. I'm just asking when. Because I'm trying to remember when you were gone. Okay. Okay, now I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah. Didn't something similar to that happen in the... In the second round of Ard Boys? Because I can remember... Oh, wait, no. That was my game. I forgot. I was playing against another IG player, strangely enough, who was pulling a little bit of slow play shenanigans in the last top of turn 5. But, We ended turn 4, we had 15 minutes, and the tournament organizer said, we got 15 minutes, see if you can finish both turns. So we started turn 5, and it took him 10 minutes to move, and 5 minutes, maybe 3 minutes to shoot everything. And then it was, well, you got 2 minutes to finish your turn, game's over, it's a good game. No, we just started the turn.
Mm-hmm.
Because they said try and finish it out, so no, I'm going to get my turn. I'll take 15 minutes or so and get it done quickly.
Yep.
But I'm going to get my turn since you just pretty much knocked me off of 2 objectives. And the TO came over because the guy started throwing a little bit of an upsetness, and he said, no, let him go ahead and do it. So he went ahead and let it do it. And strangely enough, at that point, I got a major victory rather than getting massacred. But that's something that always has to be talked about is consistency in running events.
And a lot of the times it's growing pains. I mean, some, you know, your first term you ever run, it's never goes off without a hitch.
No, that's true.
It takes time to get used to it. But, I mean, for the most part, you kind of need to have your information down. You need to figure out what you're going to do, how your rules want to be, and you need to stick by it.
Yeah, you've always got to stick by it. If this is your ruling, it stays your ruling for everybody, not just for your friends or enemies.
And scenarios, too, you don't want to have the same exact scenario. Like the tournament you're at, you don't, that's just, it's beating everybody down to the ground, no tournament. I mean, if somebody, if I brought an assault army to that game, I wouldn't have any fun at all. And no. As we can tell, Bitter Betty had to go boom boom.
Yeah,
Betty, we didn't want to go boom boom.
Betty was upset with his game. Honestly, I understand why Betty was upset.
No, I do too. I mean, it's horrible.
I mean, every single rule being changed and using the exact same rule on every single mission, that's fine if you're going to announce it ahead of time that, hey, our missions are, everything's going to be in a vacuum or everything's going to be in difficult terrain.
Didn't help considering I was playing two shooty armies round one and two.
Yeah, well, that's just luck of the draw, though.
Yeah. But it was just like the perfect storm for that, though.
It was.
Yeah.
It was. But playing every single mission with rules
the exact same rules that show bias towards shooting armies.
Yeah, that part, not so cool. If you're going to do it, there's this mission which has bias towards shooting, there's this mission which has bias towards assault, and then there's this mission, if you're doing a three-mission format, that has flat, basic game.
Yeah, it's just like a basic game out of the rule book.
Exactly. So You've got to be concise. You've got to be fair.
What do you guys prefer? Do you prefer a three game event where it's done, or do you prefer a 5 and 7 game event where it's over 2 days?
Depends on how many people are in the event.
It depends on how far away you were going away for it. Mm-hmm. If it's like a convention we're having to cross state lines for, I prefer it to be a 2 day thing, because I don't want to do 3 games one day and then be coming back that night.
Yeah,
that is horrid.
I like the split events for the sheer fact that if I lose one, I'm not out. Or if I have a bad luck of the draw one time, I'm not out.
You bad luck. Uh-huh.
My battle plan is roll 6, and it always works.
By always, you mean never.
Yeah, true.
I actually am the opposite. I actually kind of like the one-day events because they don't eat up a whole weekend. They don't mean you can't spend time doing other things the next day or what have you, or traveling or seeing sites you've gone to, like for example, Our Boys Round 2 or Our Boys Line Round 3. But a full 3 day event or 2 day event with 5 missions over 3 days or 6 missions over 3 days, what have you, you know, it doesn't bother me. I'm kind of ambivalent towards them. I haven't really gone to one like that yet. I'm planning on going to Adepticon, to the ATC this year, and maybe a couple other things, but you know, I'm ambivalent. Until I've played it, I don't really have a good opinion of it.
A lot of those events that I like are like the five game events where you start at 9 o'clock, you're done by 5. You know, you have time to hang out with everybody, free play. It just, to me, it just works real well.
You have time to relax.
You have time to relax. You don't have to worry as much.
Drink a little bit that night.
Drink a little bit that night, or in our case, a little way too much.
Hey, that was the night after the tournament was over.
See, I actually prefer the whole entire 7 games in 2 day, 4 and 3.
Mm-hmm.
And that way, it's just like, bam, 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 you have nothing but 40K, and I kind of enjoy it.
Oh, I just said the same thing with you. I enjoy the having multiple games on multiple days.
Yeah, but ending at 5 o'clock like Mechanicon did, that threw me off. Or 6 o'clock, whatever time it was.
It's like, all right, it's time to go to bed so we get up early in the morning. Wait, what time is it?
Wait, what?
You went to bed at like 5 o'clock in the afternoon?
That's the way it felt, because Adepticon, you're like, well, we're done, and it's like midnight.
I was going to say, oh, God, Adepticon, when the day's over, you're dead.
Oh, man, bits trading.
Box terminated for $5?
Oh, yeah. I'm hoping
that's the only mic deal I've ever gotten.
Well, I'm hoping to have some decent ones this year.
They always do.
I really want to see some of that.
I mean, you got to make sure to look for it. Don't leave your stuff down if Mike's around.
Yeah.
Yeah, because if so, Mike will buy your dice.
Mm-hmm. And then charge you a higher price for it.
Hey, which is fair, it's Mike.
Guy's going to make a profit.
Money in hand. Make sure you have money in hand.
I'll say this is why Mike isn't really our friend. He's just our acquaintance, I guess you'd say.
He kind of hangs out and
know, does his thing.
We tolerate you, Mike.
They use me for my 40k skill.
Number one 40k player.
Yeah. Number one 40k player.
Landing sequence initiated. Drop location confirmed and locked. Stand by for orbital insertion. I'm encrusted in 3, 2, 1.
11th Company Podcast, dedicated to player strategies and tactics of Warhammer 40K.
The 11th Company provides clean 40K discussion focused on strategies and tactics. Our niche is to provide direct, focused talk about playing the game of 40K, improving your game, expanding your strategies, and exploring rules and tactics.
We're also dedicated to finding perspective by interviewing players and community names from around the world. It's our goal to make sure that you get to listen to the world of 40K for more than just us. We'll also support the 40K community any way we can through other podcasts, events, tournaments, and anything else that will further the hobby.
After all, the 11th Company of the Codex Astartes is the players, and that's who we are.
Our episodes are released once a week every Sunday evening. Our podcast is mostly clean and PG, making them store and older child friendly. You can find us at iTunes, Podcast Alley, at our website, www.tang2.com/11thcompany.
The 11th Company has landed.
First off, I'd like to go ahead and thank 11th Company for having us on their podcast. We did an interview with them, told them what we're all about.
With Pat, to be specific.
With Pat, yes. Thank you, Pat. Look forward to meeting
you. Are a true gentleman.
At the American Team Championship.
The ATC.
Yeah, but also
Cleveland,
look forward
Tennessee.
Also look forward to meeting Neil at Adepticon. Go from there. Last time we were talking about the new Grey Knight Codex and how it really wasn't effective against Chaos Demons. So now we're going to talk about
the demon out of Demon Hunters.
Right, so now we're going to talk about Chaos Demons. I don't have a dog in this fight because, well, quite frankly, I hate Fate Weaver. And I'm going to destroy all models with a sledgehammer. But our new guy, Seth, if that really is truly his real name, has a...
No.
Okay. And then we have this dude named Betty who has a dog in the fight, too.
Speaking of Fate Weaver, maybe HQs is a good place to start, then.
Yeah, I suppose so. Anyway, Fate Weaver is pretty much one of the main HQs that people have always heard about. For anyone who hasn't, Fate Weaver allows you to reroll any failed saves within 6 inches of him, including his, which rerolling a 3+ is mighty nice.
Help me understand this whole entire how you can have 3 HQs.
Demons HQs are split up into two categories, Greater Demons and Demonic Heralds.
Okay.
Greater Demons take up 1 HQ slot on their own.
Okay, that would be like the Fate.
That'd be like greater demons like Bloodthirsters, Great Unclean Ones, Fate Weaver, things like that.
Okay.
Then you have Demonic Heralds.
Okay.
They are like Heralds of Khorne, Nurgle, what have you. You probably get the picture. You can take 2 of them for each HQ slot. Kind of like Space Wolves can do.
Okay.
But we were doing it first. Because we're cool like that.
So they can put like 2 Khorne thingies on the Blood Crushers.
Yes, you could have 4 Heralds of Khorne. Or 2 Heralds of Khorne and a Fate Weaver. You can do any combination.
So what do you guys usually take?
I'm a big fan of Kugoth. I mean, he's a special character. He's 300 points, but you've got a pie plate that's poisoned. And
it's AP2.
It's AP2, yeah. And he's got 6 wounds.
Could you say his name again?
Kugoth. K-U-G-A-T-H.
Could you put it into a sentence?
Kugoth is the name Great Unclean One.
Could he put it in a sentence describing a noun?
Kugoth ate my baby?
Can you put it in a sentence of dismay?
Oh no, Kugoth ate my baby.
How about joy?
Yay, Kugoth ate my baby!
So other than Kugoth and feeding them babies, what else do you take with the HQs?
Fate Weaver, like we've been over, is one of my favorites, just because of the whole re-rolling saves with everything within 6. Which, would not take Fate Weaver, also like to take a lot of other big monsters, like a Bloodthirster is a good one. Also, taking a Great Unclean One sometimes, just because a Great Unclean One is really cheap for a Greater Demon.
Well, so you put Mike on the table?
Like, for comparison, Fate Weaver is 333 points, which he makes up for in gold. And a Great Unclean One base is only 160.
In case you couldn't figure it out, he's half the sign of the devil.
Yes. Which, if you look at the Forge World rules, one of the Forge World Greater Demons is
666.
666. I think it's the Slaanesh one.
So if you take Kogoth the Baby Eater and you take Slaanesh, what do you take with the other 72 HQ slots you have?
Nothing.
Yeah, that usually takes them up.
Yeah.
Fate Weaver and Bloodthirster, that's all two HQ.
Well, actually, I usually only take one HQ.
I usually try and take two if I take Fate Weaver, just to maximize his rule.
What about how do you fit the other 20 greater demons that y'all fought against last time?
Those are
Demon Princes are heavy support.
Really?
Yeah. Demon Princes are heavy support.
You were wrong, Jack.
I don't play demons.
No, he just listed them.
Anyway, what about elites? Speaking of elites.
Elites is a very good selection for the demons.
Yeah. It is a hard choice.
It is a very tough spot. Except for the Beast of Nurgle, which nobody takes.
Yeah.
Because they're very unpredictable. They only have D6 attacks, they're slow and purposeful, and they're just really slow and unpredictable. And whereas you got the Fiends of Slaanesh, who are really fast, have a lot of attacks, and rend, and they have hit and run. Flamers, they're jump infantry. Jack, I know how much you hate the Flamers. Flamers are essentially jump infantry a weapon called the Breath of Chaos, which is essentially a Flamer template that always wounds on a 4+, gives no armor or cover saves, and always glances a vehicle on a 4+.
And strangely enough, Flamers have two attacks, which I've never been able to understand why.
Yeah,
why?
For a Zinch
model,
they have two attacks.
Yeah.
So do you take more Flamers, or do you take more of the other things?
I usually take one unit of the next thing we're about to talk about is Blood Crushers,
uh-huh.
which you see a lot of.
Yeah.
Strength 5, Toughness 5, 2 wounds apiece, 3 base attacks, a 3+ armor with a 5+ invuln, with all power weapons and Furious Charge. I can't see why no one would not.
Well, the favorite thing to do with the Blood Crushers is wound allocation abuse.
Yeah, you take 4 of them minimum, give one of them rending, one of them a chaos icon, one of them a mission of chaos. There, you just came up with 4 different blood crushers you can put wounds on.
Yeah. So you don't have to insta-kill whole models.
But demons, you can't insta-kill them anyway.
Right. Yeah, am I wrong in saying that they did that before the non-bikers did?
I'm trying to remember release dates. I know the demons and the orcs were like side by side. I can't remember which one came out first, though. Mm-hmm. But it's always been a lot more effective on non-bikers, I'd say, just because non-bikers can be suffered instant death, but blood crushers can't.
You filled a bunch of those against me the other day. The neat thing about those, a lot of people, I for a long time thought that blood crushers were beasts.
Or cavalry.
And apparently they are not. They are infantry.
So they can move up levels of a building.
Yeah, which is insane.
Yeah, something riding a rhino can move up levels of a building. I don't know how.
That rhino
is very good with a ladder.
Not the transport, but the animal.
Yes.
Yes, we have to make certain we keep that separate.
Yes, a mechanical
rhino.
Yeah. Can move up a ladder. I don't know how he can do it.
So that brings us to, is it all the elites in there? Or?
Yes.
So what do you normally take in you have 3 elite slots, Seth, what do you take?
Usually 2 groups of the Blood Crushers, 4 each, so I can abuse the wound allocation.
That's fair.
And
who wouldn't?
Any number between 3 and 6 Flamers. I mean, you've got to, that's pretty much the only shooting I ever take, so you got to get it in there.
Mine's pretty much the opposite way. Usually 2 units of Flamers and a unit of at least 4 Blood Crushers, right around with Fate Weaver.
Do you like Flamers better than Seth, though, huh?
Oh, okay. Dang right.
So that brings us to troops. What we got in there, guys?
Troops also has a lot of fun things. You have the Bloodletters, which you see most often. Weapon skill 5, strength 4, toughness 4, the basic 5+ demon save. Thing is, they all have Furious Charge and power weapons.
Golly.
So on a charge, if you got 8 guys, you're having to deal with 24 weapon skill 5, strength 5, power weapon attacks.
What's their base initiative? Is it 4?
4. 4. Their base initiative is power, or is Space Marine. Pretty much.
Okay.
Let's see. You got Demonettes, which you don't see a lot of people use. They're weapon skill 4, but they have initiative 6 and 3 base attacks. So they go really fast and they have rending.
Demonettes are basically a really good screen unit.
Yeah. If you 2 take them, you have to take them with big units just because they are really easy to kill, just because they're toughest 3.
Yeah.
And then you have our Tar Pit unit, the Plague Bearers, which I have failed. I have yet to meet an enemy that does not hate Plague Bearers.
They're tough as five.
Tough as five. Five kill of pain. Initiative two. One attack apiece. Five plus ward. Ward. Invuln. Been playing too much fantasy. But they're slow and purposeful. The thing you do with them that most people do is initiative-based games where they really come shine, especially capturing control. Drop them in your deployment zone after where you've put your objective in a forest, have them go to ground. You now have a 3-plus cover and feel no pain on a toughness 5 creature.
Holy crap. Do they still have the old plague knife rule where they could...
They have poison attacks.
Okay. And are they rending?
No.
Okay.
I wish they were.
That's actually pretty nasty.
Oh, then you've got Pink Horrors, which they're more expensive than the other troops, but I take them for one reason, and that is the Changeling. He is a 5-point upgrade character of the unit. He has a special ability called the Glamour of Tzeentch, where basically if there's an enemy unit within 24 inches of him that's about to shoot, you make them take a leadership test. They can either not take the leadership test and not shoot at all, or they can attempt to take it. If they take it and fail, you get to choose what that unit shoots at.
Yeah, but how often have you had that work? Because it seems like, you know, there's so many things out there with Fearless that...
It works. It's a leadership test. It's not a morale test.
So they're always having to take it.
They always have to take it, no matter what. The first time it ever happened was against Jack here. he failed his... He was going to shoot his Devastator Squad against one of my Creator Demons. Failed... And I proceeded to make him shoot all of his Devastator Squad into the rear armor of his Venerable Dreadnought. Mm-hmm. Venerable Dreadnought did not live. Mm-hmm. Jack wasn't happy. Mm-hmm. What's the matter, Jack?
I ate it, baby.
That's pretty much it for the troops.
So what do you normally take, Seth?
I'm a big fan of the Bloodletters and the Demonettes.
Mm-hmm.
GW, if you're listening, Plastic Plague Bears.
Yes, please. Please do.
Because I would buy lots of them.
I would love you forever.
They're pretty expensive, metal-wise.
Or are they fine catch now?
They are still pewter.
Yeah.
So which, means they're which means they're probably, since a lot of the pewter range is being converted over, or to either plastic or fine cast, they're probably going to get a plastic box.
They're about, 20 or 30 bucks for five?
Yeah.
Then that doesn't include the command sprue. I usually take 2 units of plague bearers. Just for objective missions like capturing control, just so I can drop them on multiple objectives. I don't take Demonettes as much as I used to, just because of their aforementioned easy to kill. I like taking several squads of Bloodletters, just because, let's face it, they'll kill anything they pretty much get the charge on. And I don't use Pink Horrors as much as I used to, just because, like I mentioned before, I'm in the middle of redoing all my demons, so I still haven't got around to fixing all them.
Gotcha.
The horrors are good, but...
They are too expensive.
I think they're overpriced, yeah.
Yeah, 17 points a model.
That's a nice little chunk of change there.
But they have one nice ability called Bolt of Tzeentch, which is the only real anti-shooting armor that we have. Strength 8, AP 1.
Okay.
That's an assault weapon.
Okay, I like the Strength 8, I like the AP 1. What's the range on it?
2 feet, I think.
So it's basically a multi-melta.
Yeah, without the melta rule.
Well, that's not horrible.
Yeah. That's like I said, it's the only real shooting anti-armor we have. Like, the only other way we can do it otherwise is assaults with monstrous creatures.
How many...
Or the cannon off of the
Soul Grinder. Yeah. But Soul Grinders, you don't see a lot of people use them out in bigger point games just because of the prevalence of melta. Fast attack... The only thing I can really see of any value in fast attack is the Seekers of Slaanesh.
Yeah, Seekers is about where it's going to be, but I don't even think most of the time you're going to see any demon player take fast attack.
No. I mean, Seekers, they're pretty much Slaanesh Cavalry, 17 points apiece, 4 base attacks apiece on initiative 6, with offensive and defensive grenades and rending. You can take them on a squad of 20, so you can, best case scenario, you can get 100 rending attacks on initiative 6.
And their cavalry.
And their cavalry.
So they can't go up buildings?
No.
This is important to us. They can't go up a building.
That's important. But, that's very important. My tank can drive through the building, but it can't get on the second level. Just as long as we're on the same even playing field here.
But heavy support only has 2 different choices you can go between. Soul Grinder, which, like I mentioned before, you don't see many in higher point games because Melta everywhere. And then you have the Demon Prince, which is insanely customizable.
Well, I think another thing with the Soul Grinder is you've got so many of the things in your list that you know are going to get mowed down.
Mm-hmm.
So it's taking something with armor. You know, if you got one thing out there with armor,
it's there's where all their anti-armor weapons going.
Most people would prefer to take a Demon Prince.
Which can't get one shot.
Can't get one shotted, yeah. It's going to survive.
But the downside to it on the Soul Grinder is the Demon Prince is not immune to small weapons fire.
And he's also going to end up being a lot more points to make him effective than the Soul Grinder.
I mean, he only starts at 80, whereas Soul Grinder starts at 135. But the options on the Demon Prince, they get really expensive really fast.
How do you normally kit yours out, Seth?
Give him wings, give him the Iron Hide for the 3+ save. I like the Mark of Nurgle, because who doesn't like a toughness 6 monstrous creature? And give him
all about those.
And give him Breath of Chaos.
What does Breath of Chaos do?
That's the Flamer template thing. No armor cover saves on a 4+.
Really?
I don't know. I kind of stayed away from you in our games. You never got to use it.
but you didn't
stay away from me. I had to stay away from you.
Oh, yeah.
Warpquake. Dang you.
For everybody who actually plays Grey Knights out there, Warpquake is the best thing ever.
If you're playing that one
demon player.
Yeah.
But how many Grey Knight players are going to build their list around fighting demons?
Which I wouldn't recommend doing because you suck at fighting demons.
How do you kit out your Demon Princess, Betty?
I kit them out essentially just like Seth does. Mark and Nurgle, Ironhide, the wings, which makes him move like jump infantry.
Uh-huh.
That's probably the last thing I'll ever put on it if I do put it on something. I take it just to help it keep up with everything. But it's not a priority.
Coming here.
Huh?
That's a butt coming.
But it's not priority because it's 60 points.
The wings are very expensive.
Yes. But if I'm doing a Fate Weaver, it's really nice to have him moving that 12 inches with Fate Weaver.
The wings, yeah, are really dependent on the rest of your list has something.
The nice thing, though, if you give him the Mark and Nurgle, is to give him Noxious Touch, too. That way, he is a monstrous creature that is always wounding on twos that gets reroll his ones.
Really?
Yes.
That is crazy.
I can see that being nasty.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's almost guaranteed to just sit there and slaughter anything it touches.
Mm-hmm.
But you also end up with like 240, 250 point Demon Prince in order to do that.
With the wings.
So the solution there is just stay as far away as you can get.
How many wings guys usually take? One, two?
I'm taking two Demon Princes, I do one wings, one without.
Depends on the point level. If it's Ard Boys, all my Demon Princes will have wings. Because
mm-hmm.
I like to run what people call Demon Zilla for Ard Boys. Which is pretty much monsters everywhere in your face. And if you focus on killing the monsters, you're going to get mauled by lesser demons.
Hmm. What do you, what's some of the problems you run into running demons?
Deep Strike Mishap.
Deep Strike Mishap.
Well, alright, the problem is you have to be ballsy with demons. And that's one reason I like them, because, mm-hmm. you know, that's not standard army.
Yeah.
You've got to be up in somebody's face, and you're going to lose stuff.
You have to take risks.
Yeah, you have to take the risks.
Mm-hmm.
Now, make sure I get this right. You start your game, and you pick half of your force.
Yes.
Now, is it number of units?
Units.
Units, so...
And if you have an independent character, you attach that to the unit before you count total number of units.
Okay. And then you...
Split it in half.
Split it in half.
And choose the one you want.
Well, you choose the one you want, yeah, and you roll a die, and if it's a 1 or 2, you have to pick the opposite one.
Oh, wow.
So you don't even know if you're going to get the wave you want.
So is it possible to put everything into one wave and nothing into the second wave?
No, you have to make it even.
It has to be even.
It has to be even.
Hmm.
Otherwise, everybody would put it all in one wave, just so they don't get their force torn apart bit by bit.
Well, yeah, I mean, that would be kind of the most obvious way of doing it, is I've got a single guy in this wave, and 2,300 other points in the other wave.
But as for the... being ballsy with your deep strikes, one thing that really helps offset that is putting chaos icons in your tougher units, like blood crushers, which you're getting the double bonus of being able to wound allocate, and plague bears. Because, I mean, that chaos icon is going to be the last thing you take off. And if you put something within 6 inches of it, it doesn't scatter.
Well, the deep strike's not all that bad, because you're playing a lot of capture this objective or do whatnot, and, you know, having half your army come in later can often at least help you tie the game.
It's actually won me a game.
Yeah, you just plop stuff down on objectives to contest it.
Yeah.
Actually, it can help.
Actually, was playing a game in a tournament. All of my force was gone except for a unit of plague bearers and a unit of pink horrors. Turn 4, rolled double ones. Neither of them came in. Turn 5, deep struck on to my objective, which the opponent couldn't get to. So I got that one and contested his. I get a massacre.
That's pretty good. How often do you have it, though, where, you know, stuff doesn't come in and it just dies?
Fairly unoften. Because, I mean, it automatically comes in on turn 5, which at that point, the only thing keeping it from coming in and automatically getting destroyed is a deep strike mishap.
Well, what about,
so like, you're asking stuff that just never comes in before the game's over, or I thought you were saying deep strike mishap?
No, I'm talking about stuff never, like in a tournament setting.
See, I don't think I've ever not had any all of my stuff come in.
I have had on one occasion where on turn 5 it mishaps and it went back in reserve.
I think what he's trying to ask is, have you ever had a game where you've only finished turn 4 and like 4 or 5 units are still sitting on the edge counting as dead?
I've never really had that problem just because of how quickly demons turns tend to go, just because you only have half their army on the board starting out.
Well, I tend to get lucky and roll, you know, 4 plus for almost everything the second turn.
Mm-hmm.
So you roll 6s.
That is his plan. It's his battle plan.
Okay, as long as we're honest about it.
Hmm.
So do you prefer to kind of deep strike yourself back farther back, or do you just go ballsy and put it as close to your opponent as you possibly can?
Pretty sure they said that you got to be ballsy with it.
You got to be ballsy with it. I mean,
some units you can be a lot more forgiving. Like flamers, they're jump infantry, so you can place them a little bit back, like behind cover, and they'll jump out next turn.
Well, I mean, are you ever afraid of somebody else getting the assault on you and destroying you?
Well, see, that's why I tend to take demonettes as a troop choice, because then you can put them out there.
And they will go first.
You're going first.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So that kind of allows you to put your blood letters or whatever you're taking behind them, let the demonettes do their job. You know, they're probably going to die.
Yeah,
but
probably.
At least next turn, your blood letters are going in and they're going to kill something.
No, the demonettes have power weapons also? Or?
No, they're rending. But they also have defensive grenades.
Really?
Oh, so they stop chargers from getting that bonus attack when they come in.
Yes.
Well, that's good.
How many attacks do they have on the base?
3.
3 on the base. So they're pretty good for doing that then. And you just take your blood letters and... Blood letters and just mop up the rest of it, basically.
Yes.
See, because I don't see a whole lot of demons.
You know,
you really don't see a lot of demons.
They are
a very neat army, in my opinion, as far as how their mechanics work and how stuff goes. They're actually the army I wanted to start second, but I never got around to it. It's never worked out.
They are a very difficult army to master,
mm-hmm.
just because of how unpredictable they are. You have to be really flexible if you're going to play demons.
Because,
you can have your whole battle plan set out. All right, if I get this wave, I'm going to do this. Then you roll 1. Your entire battle plan is just gone.
Okay, the question I've got to ask.
So you did battle plan wrong then.
Yeah, you got the reverse of the battle plan. You got battle plan to roll 1s.
Crap.
Okay, I've got to ask then. Is it possible and viable to play as a mono god chaos demons army? Like, is it possible and actually decent to devote your entire army to, say, Slaanesh, or devote it entirely to Khorne?
If I ever had to say, it would have to either be Khorne or Nurgle.
See, I think it's entirely possible, yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is it effective?
Yeah. I know it's possible. Because, heck, I could bring an entire army of nothing but guardsmen or Penal Legion. Penal Legion and Ratlings, nothing but... And it wouldn't be viable. But is it viable for Chaos Demons? Yeah.
Like he said, I think it is, but only with Khorne and Nurgle.
See, I think I would disagree.
How so?
I think you could do it with Slaanesh and Tzeentch easily. I mean, Tzeentch has got the firepower and the 4 plus invulnerable. I think you could last long enough with Tzeentch Crater Demons out there that your troops would be okay.
That's it. If you run the mono Slaanesh, or Tzeentch, you've got Fateweaver out there letting you reroll all your 4 pluses.
Tzeentch is basically the turtle game if you're going to go mono.
Yes. Amazingly enough, the Toughness 3 Horrible and Close Combat will most of the time outlast. Unless it's the strongest Nurgle.
And with Slaanesh, I think you've got enough Initiative 6 out there that...
The thing with Slaanesh is they are so fragile. Against like a shooting army like Duncan has, they will not last. They will just crumble.
Well, it's improved guard. They're all going to die at the end of the battle anyway.
Well, yeah. I mean, they exist to die.
All Chaos troops, though, will
will die that easy against the shooting run.
You know, the thing I want to always see is, though, I want to see, like you said, I want to see GW release the plastic plague bearers just so I can see someone run an Epidemius Nurgle list.
So what's the worst case scenario in a game for you? Is it complete crazy deep strike mishaps or what? What's the worst case scenario?
Bad deep strikes, I'd say.
See, I'm okay with the 30% chance of hitting and scattering the rest of the time. My problem is I tend not to take enough shooting, and everything's mechanized, and I can't pop them open and kill everything. That's my worst nightmare.
Yeah. Well, then again, that's not really a fault of our own, though. That's something we can't really control.
No, I mean, it's not. And that's because I'm choosing to take, you know, less shooting, but it's not like we have that many options to begin with. That's why I tend to you know, focus towards combat and try to get close enough to those rhinos and pop them open.
The reason I like Fate Weaver.
Just like how you stare at me the entire time you say that. Because we all know what Mike's list. Three rhinos and some support.
Yeah.
And Duncan's?
Six Lehman Russes.
No, I would never bring six Lehman Russes to a battlefield.
Just
every game.
Unless the whole thing's difficult and you immobilize half of them.
Yes, in that case I'll bring three because you're the three.
What about you, Betty? What's your worst case scenario?
I'd say just be pure bad luck on the dice whenever you're first bringing your force in. Because, I mean, I believe it was Duncan who mentioned how much bad deployment can completely screw up an army.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, with something as unpredictable as demons, I mean, a little screw-up is inevitable. But when the dice just go bad time after time, there's just no really way to counter it. Scattering away from an Imperial Guard line, that's going to screw me over. Lord knows how bad.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
Especially when I'm running several monstrous creatures. I do not want those to scatter.
Yep.
Which is why I always make sure to have one Chaos Icon in each wave on a unit that will live. Because I do not want things coming in later to die just because they scattered.
Well, then again, on that same opposite of that, what's your best case scenario? Well, what do you like to... And again, I mean, I kind of want to know what your worst army, when you get to the table and you see an army across the table, what you go, oh God, I don't really want to play that. And then again, what do you look across the table and you go, I got this in the bag.
Spearhead deployment.
Yeah, spearhead deployment is probably the best for demons because we can trap somebody in.
Yes, it is really easy to just completely net someone in, give them nowhere to go, and slowly just go in from the sides and mop them up.
What armies do you like to play or do you don't like to play as a demon player?
Do you really have to ask?
I think
Marines, nobody has the answer to that one.
Marines are a good thing for us to play because we have so many power weapons.
Yeah. I mean, we have so much that's getting rid of that. Oh, 3+, come on.
I think Guard is probably one of the harder because there's so many models that have to try
mech,
to kill.
Mech especially.
And, yeah.
Oh, there's a tear in my eye.
Dark, I'd say Dark Eldar after Imperial Guard just because of how mobile their transports are.
Well, and I'd love Eldar in there, too. Any mechanized Eldar or Dark Eldar is just going to...
It's just because of how mobile they are.
I find circles around you, basically.
Mm-hmm. I find it hard with, like, our Nids to fight Eldar and Dark
Eldar
because they just can't catch them enough.
I mean, when you have an army where your entire anti-tank is devoted to melee, when you have an army that you can't even get close to, you're screwed.
Well, and there's one other thing that I thought of that is really hurting demon players is the table. You tend to see a lot of densely packed tables with terrain, and that's just not something you want to see as a demon player.
I actually really enjoy seeing a table with a lot of forest on it. I purposely will deep strike into forests.
I've tried to purposely do it, and I end up losing like half of it.
I mean,
that game with me and you, that was great.
The game I played against you, you lost 3 out of a squad of, 10 bloodletters?
Yeah.
But the thing is, I enjoy deep strike into it, because then I'm automatically getting a 4+ cover over my 5+ invuln. Yeah. I mean, I'll have to get out of the forest, but...
Definitely, at least,
but
you live one more
But turn. Survivability is key for me. You know, I gotta ask you, though, Seth. If GW does release the plastic playbearers, and the rest of the... Maybe all the demon model. Durnal demons in plastic. Would you run an Epidemius list?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Oh,
that'd be so much fun.
Oh, yes, it would.
A what?
Epidemius.
What's that?
He is the named Herald of Nurgle character. He has a special rule called the Tally of Pestilence. Basically, the entire time he's on the table, you keep him count of every model killed by something with the Mark of Nurgle, even if it's an enemy unit with the Mark of Nurgle killing something. At the start of each of your turns, you count up the total, and there's a chart you consult. Once you've killed five enemy models with something marking or all plague swords, which is pretty much plague bearers, wound on three pluses instead of four. Once you've killed 10, all followers of Nurgle, which is pretty much anything in your army, always wounds on twos. Once you kill 15, your feeling of pain is saving on a 3 instead of a 4. And once you reach 20, all followers of Nurgle have power weapons.
Wow.
And that's individual models killed?
Individual models killed.
So would it be possible then to put the marker of Nurgle on one of the we already mentioned it, the Demon
Princes?
No, not the Demon Princes. The Demon Engine that spits out the pie plate.
You can't put marks on those.
That's not fair.
Yeah. But, say...
Yeah, put a Demon Prince with Breath of Chaos walking up and flaming a whole unit of guys.
Nope, there went five of them. I just got the next thing on the table. Yeah. I'm going to assault them. There goes the rest of the unit. That's half the way up the chart.
Does it count units killed in close combat and swept?
All models killed.
It's all models.
All models killed.
So if you sweep them in combat, it still counts for it.
Yes. Yep. So, kill two units, and you've got the table.
So, let me ask you this again. Does it still work when he's dead?
No. That is why you hide him in a corner where no one can find him.
Kind of like you do with Jack.
Directions.
It's like, oh, there's a ruin that no one can see through. Keep trucking.
Jack, back in the closet.
Thankfully, you can always stick him in a unit so he has some ablative wounds.
Oh, okay.
That's why he has 3 wounds, tough as 5.
And a unit of 20 plague bearers.
God.
Now, Mike, Duncan, you both know how hard it is to kill plague bearers.
Yeah.
Imagine an entire army that has 60, 70 of them. With Feel No Pain, saving on a 3+.
Are they 4 or 5 parentheses or 5 straight across the board?
There are straight 5s.
Thinking more than 60 or 70, I'm thinking 120.
Yeah, you can take them in units of 20. So that's 120 plague bearers.
And they're troops.
They are troops.
6 troopers scoring.
Units, 20 they're scoring.
Fearless.
That is the only reason I can ever see anyone taking a Beast of Nurgle. That's D6, 2+, power movement attacks.
And who's going to go for the Beast of Nurgle when you've got that many plague bearers on the board? The Beast of Nurgle are actually going to make it to combat and actually going to do something.
Yep. And then you got 2 Grand and Clean Ones and Demon Princes of Nurgle. If you are able to wipe that army from the table, I commend you.
Can you still bring Nurglings?
Yes. They are troops, and they are swarms. They are an Eternal Warrior Swarm.
An Eternal Warrior Swarm?
An Eternal Warrior Swarm.
That is retarded. That's hilarious. I never even knew that.
How many wounds do they have?
3.
Oh, man. That's just stupid.
Oh, that's actually sounds kind
13 points of base. You can have them in squads of 9.
You should take 9 squads of those.
Actually, a lot of people like to use them as tar pit units just because of how many wounds they have and the fact that they are immune to instant death. And once you get 20 on that table... You now have a squad of swarm with 3 base attacks, always wounding on 2s, that has power weapons.
Yep, that would do it.
I forgot to mention that Kugoth poops out.
Oh yeah, Kugoth, too. The named Great Unclean One, actually poops out Nurglings.
Is he the one who ate the baby?
Yes.
Yes.
Kugoth the baby.
He ate the baby and then he pooped it out into 5 different babies.
And then he threw the poison baby as a template.
I don't think I like this Kugoth guy. This would be a really
Jamie good certainly hated him.
Well, Caboose hates everything.
Well, again, Caboose put his entire firing Necron line into Kugoth and put 1 wound on him.
Caboose let me pop 3 flamers over in front of his whole Necron army, and I killed 35 Necrons in 1 turn.
Caboose let me kill 2 of his vehicles with flamers.
This next section, ladies and gentlemen, is called Caboose Let Me Kill.
Caboose let me kill his whole entire Necron army with my Demon Hunter, one Grandmaster. That's all I had.
The old one.
I had a Land Raider and a Grandmaster. That's all I had.
Caboose let me kill his entire army with 2 Rune Priests with Jaws of the Wolflord straight down his lines. I'm not kidding, his entire army.
Caboose let me multi-charge an assault squad into 2 squads of Necrons, or 2 20-man blocks of Necrons, and the Stormlord. I won combat.
Ran away.
He lost combat, and I ran both squads down.
Caboose let me deep strike my half of my demon army that I got all along his table quarter, because he kept everything he had in reserve.
Caboose let the guys from Tennessee with the bike army row through his half of the tournament army.
Good old Caboose. If you're listening to this, Caboose, thank you.
That was great, guys. I mean, I don't know about you all, but that there was a lot of things I didn't know about demons because I don't get to face them that much, and that actually helped me out a lot.
The more you know.
We're going to go right on into Jack's got a little bit, some rumors here for us today. Black Jack's Rumor Corner.
See here, got two things, both really quick. First one, most of the rumors about the Chaos Legions are all about a year old, is what one guy said.
All the stuff that...
That's what you get in rumors. One dude went on a basically probably 3-page diatribe about how the rumors are out right now, according to his sources, are all a year old. May be or may not be.
But how the Chaos Codex been out or been working on since the last one was even released.
Yeah, exactly.
But how they were pretty much forced into making.
Yeah, because they're like, oh God, this is a horrible job. Second thing... getting in line with fantasy, they may be switching the army selection up into the force rotation chart over to percentages. So
that would kind of suck.
I remember Duncan's actually stepped out for a minute, but one point he actually made to emphasize was how badly that could screw over certain armies. Like if they did percentages,
yeah, that would screw
especially his guard. Like consider the point difference between a unit of just normal guardsmen, like 55 points, versus a Lehman Russ. If they do similar to fantasy, 25% of your points have to be in guardsmen. Imagine how many points, how many guardsmen you have to take relative to a tank.
Dedicated transports.
Yeah, I mean, dedicated transports, I have to count for that. I mean, there's no way you could possibly pull that up. Mm-hmm. And I mean, me alone, right now, my standard Black Templar list has probably over 50% of its points in elites.
Yeah. I mean, those two squads of Assault Terminators and Land Raiders really eats up points.
Yeah, it just destroys my
it's
points.
It's like 400 apiece.
So you just have to be creative with it instead of, getting your Land Raiders and your dedicated troops transport, use them as heavies.
So are they changing this because they think it's going to balance things out more, or are they just looking to shake things up?
I would not wonder what any of GW's logic ever is.
To tell you the truth,
I wouldn't want to hurt myself trying to do that.
Just kind of like doing some quick thoughts on it. It would actually balance some stuff out.
Some stuff, but it would really screw over others.
I mean, think about it. It would stop people from bringing those ridiculous elite heavy and heavy list. I mean,
yes, Mike is talking about screwing himself over.
It would screw me over.
But then you're dealing with the fact that a lot of the books you can unlock
things as troop choices.
Yeah.
Which would make sense why they're doing that now.
Yeah. But then how much is it going to screw over the other books while they are waiting for a new codex that will let them do that?
Yeah. But then again, we might see the same thing that happened with fantasy.
Where they completely reorganize everything in every book.
Day one of release of the book. Everything got a fact that updated everything. I mean, like High Elves are a very special.
They have a special place in your heart.
Yeah, very special place. No, they're a very special heavy army, and there's actually a rule they made for them that they can use more specials than anybody else. They can use up to 50% instead of up to 25% like normal people can. So, I mean, if they went for percentages, yeah, it would suck. We'd have to rework everything. But I could see it working.
But like I've mentioned the Imperial Guard example many times. It's just, if they implement it, it has to be day one.
Yep. Nope. I absolutely, positively hate every single bit of the idea behind percentages. It was fine in second edition when everything had
Welcome
ridiculous...
Back, by the way.
Yeah, thank you. I had to go outside and smoke. Yes, cancer, please don't smoke. It's bad for you. Do not follow my example.
He's a bitter old man. He can't help it.
Yes. I hate percentages. I will always hate percentages. It worked just fine in second edition, 40K, when average games were between 2,000 and 3,000 points in cost. and consisted of maybe four units total. Because, you know, you could have a single tactical squad of Marines costing almost 500 points. Or you could have a single Chaos Lord or what have you costing 175 points, and that was just basic. The problem I have with percentages, and this is just me, is look at the Necron Codex. You can easily make a tricked out Necron Lord, he's, congratulations, 300 plus points. You can take a single special character, and same problem. You can take, for the, like you said, the IG, you can take a squadron of Leman Russes. Three Leman Russes is 450 points. How many points do most guard players typically spend on heavy?
A lot.
How many points do typical guard players spend on troops?
Not
a lot. Same problem with fast. Yeah. Same problem with elite.
I mean, just to make up for that one squad of Leman Russes, you'd have to take 9 infantry squads.
Yeah, it just doesn't work. Not for IG. I don't think it works for Eldar either. Because the Seer Council is an HQ.
Mm-hmm.
Eldred's an HQ. So how many points, what percentage of your army are you going to be able to spend on that? I mean,
they do, it'd be like fantasy, the 25%.
I really think the idea of percentages is bunk. Mm. I don't think it'll happen. Especially with all the rumors that have been going around before now about not going to percentages, but having the force organization chart alterable by getting rid of, say, 2 elite slots to pick up
to take a heavy. Yeah.
Or getting rid of 2 fast to get a troops. Or what have you. I think that's more likely with the ability to alter the FOC than getting rid of it entirely.
I personally like that burn to percentages, but I can see that being abused, like taking so many more of your points in elites or some heavy than anything
else. Oh, absolutely.
It can be abused so much more than it currently can now.
Would you look at that? I just dropped 2 of my elite slots and picked up another heavy slot. Oh, look, now I have 8 Leman Russes. And I guarantee you that I will do it, because mm-hmm. it will work. I will happily spend 1,200 points on Leman Russes. Look at the wall of armor value 14 rolling.
So you're just going to take your 6 Leman Russ base and double it?
No, I won't double it. Because my 6 Leman Russes are 900 points. I can't double that.
6 to 12?
Yeah, I mean, it only takes it from 6 to 8. I mean, you know.
Oh, I thought you were going to say you were going to take
2 squadrons of 2, because 3 is redundant. I mean, you know. Or look at Hydra Flag Tank, 75 points, 75 points, 75 points. Anything fast is going to get shot apart. It will make Sifleman Dreads cry. I mean, now I'll be now doing the taking an extra FOC slot for heavy. I can technically fit in, 12 autocannons? Or 12 twin-link autocannons in that? No, 24, because they each have 2.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just nuts. How many hydras am I going to have? Ooh, I don't even want to think about it.
Okay, we're going to talk about our favorite elite choices. Probably the boundaries on this is loose. A codex in your elite choice, and it has to be your favorite. Beta's going to start us off because I randomly pick him, and I hate him. So go, Beta, go!
What did I do this time?
Yeah, Mule! All right, Ren and Mule, start.
Well, I'm just going to pretty much go from what I have. I mean, I can't really make any decisions about someone else's elite just because...
No, it's your favorite elite choice.
Doesn't matter my what codex, nothing. Your favorite elite choice.
And that would have to either be my Demon Blood Crushers or my Black Templar Terminators.
Okay.
I would have to say my Blood Crushers just because how much of a pounding they can take. Shut up, Mike. And still take out Strength 6, Furious Charge, or with Furious Charge, Power Weapon wounds or attacks at Weapon Skill 5. Or I can save my Assault Terminators for Black Templars, because Furious Charging Lightning Claws with Preferred Enemy makes me a happy man.
Yeah, yeah.
I can see that.
What about you, Duncan?
You're going to pass on me for a minute, because I'm still getting my codex.
What about you, Mike, since you're so eager to push people under the bus?
Beep, beep. I'm a Jeep.
Yes, Mike and Lightning Claws.
For me, I would honestly have to say my Black Templar Assault Terminators with Furious Charge. Because,
mm-hmm.
I mean... There's just so many.
Initiative 5, Strength 5, Lightning Claw.
It's just ridiculous. Rerolling to hit, and rerolling to wound. I'm going to destroy whatever I run into.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, to be honest with you, even having them with the tank hunter isn't bad either. I mean, plus one on your armor penetration is just awesome.
I mean, I took a couple units of normal Terminators with Cyclone missile launcher with tank hunters. Holy crap, I have blast cannons.
They're just good, and every time I use them, they always work for me. They're always my Death Star unit. They're always my MVPs of the game. Yeah. I never ever had a problem out of them. What about you, Seth? What's your favorite?
I gotta go old school. I'm going 3rd edition Blood Angels Codex Death Company Dreadnought.
Holy crap!
Oh yeah.
Because
elaborate.
When you can have 3 of them, and then 3 Dreadnoughts as your heavy support, and they were all Death Company Dreadnoughts. And
so insane.
It's insane, and it got me pretty much banned from the scabbard from playing Blood Angels, so I'm going with that.
What'd they do? I don't even know what they did.
They were insane.
Yeah, they had the Red Thirst automatically. You ran them across the table, they could not be killed, and they just mowed everything down in combat.
Wow.
They were very, very brutal. I do remember that.
What about you, Duncan?
Well, I could go even more old school than Seth and just whip out something from 2nd edition.
Be aging yourself a little bit.
I would be aging myself a little bit. I'd probably be talking about something that a lot of people wouldn't even remember or care about.
You might be older than me.
It probably is. So instead of my doing that, because I think that would probably be bad, I'm going to go with current Blood Angels Codex, and I'm going to go with Sanguinary Priests. Not because they can sit there with a better weapon skill than the rest of the Codex, other than characters, and kill stuff easily in hand-to-hand combat with power weapons. Not because you can have them using the Red Chalice to give feel no pain to whatever squad's in the bubble area or they're attached to. But just because of the fact that you can get 3 of them. Trick them out however you like for 1 slot. So I can have 1 guy riding with Terminators in Terminator armor. I can have another guy riding with a jump pack with a jump squad. And I can have a 3rd guy hiding inside of a Rhino or a Storm Chicken doing whatever and providing
the
bubble.
They're the Blood Angels Wolf Guard, but better.
Not really better, because they're still an independent character and you can still pick them out of the squad and kill them.
Oh, okay.
But the fact that for 50 points, it gives whatever's in that bubble Furious Charge, Feel No Pain, and Leadership 10. That, in my opinion, makes it worth it. Because the squad leader isn't going to lead them anymore. Now he is.
And Feel No Pain with Power Armor.
Sorry, it's Leadership 9, not Leadership 10. That's my bad.
Feel No Pain with Power Armor is very nice.
Feel No Pain with Power Armor is very nice. But Feel No Pain with Power Armor... I'm sorry, Feel No Pain with Terminator armor and Furious Charge with Lightning Claw and Thunderhammer Terminators. So on the few occasions I do get hurt by something that's not a power weapon, I can still survive. That just makes it me. Hmm. Jack?
You're last.
I'm,
at least.
I hate everyone.
thank
especially
you.
Mike?
Yes, especially Mike. This is probably going to be because as a child, I love Transformers and watched entirely too much.
They are more than meets the eye.
Insert violin.
And played Battletech entirely too much when I was young. But I'm a big fan of Dreadnoughts, just in general. Out of like every elite choices, especially if you do the Ironclad Dreadnought. I just love it. I think it looks like a bad A.
Even though the missiles you always put on it never hit.
Exactly, you know. And if you buy the Forge World one, obviously with the Eagle as a head for the Seismic Hammer, I just think it looks amazing. This from strictly a
aesthetic,
you know, reason. I love them.
I'll have to agree with you on that one.
Gameplay, though, you know, I'm just gonna get shot to death with it altogether. I already know, but they're just fun. And if I'm throwing down a fun game, I'll throw in a Master of Forge and I'll put in 6 of them. I don't care.
You know, I actually fought that army in round 2 of Ard Boys with the Master of the Forge and 6 Dreadnoughts. And that army hurt a lot. Because every single one of them had 2 autocannons. And I hated it with a passion. I massacred the army because I kept, you know, getting melted guns near Dreadnoughts and they kept going away.
He just deployed them? Just walked them on?
Oh yeah, he walked them on.
I was like, no, Jack drop pots his.
It was just me.
Really, how many points it would cost to do a Ironclad Dreadnought?
See here, for 2,000 points, you can get 6 of them, Master of Forge, and then 2 Scout Squads.
This has been pointed out, I guess.
And then you can have a little something extra, but, you know, that's neither here nor there.
Oh, that's fair.
Melt the bombs!
nasty. Unfortunately, our friend Andy has already gone home for the night, so we cannot have him join us in signing off. But for the Battle Plan Roll 6's, BPR 6's, third podcast, this is Duncan.
This is Mike.
This is Betty.
This is Seth.
And this is Blackjack. I wish you a happy holidays and be safe. Good night.